It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I know our brother has prepared to stand before us and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kind of interested with two tables what he's going to show us. He tells me, though, there's no exploding watermelons, so nobody needs to worry about watermelons or anything else falling off the top of the table and scattering over the congregation. So without any further ado, I'll give you our brother, our speaker of the hour, Brother Andy.
Thank you, Jim. You know, sometimes you have a good idea. At least it seems like a good idea. And then you think, man, is this really going to work? I do want to welcome you each here today. I'm thankful to be here. Usually I'm the evening speaker on this same Sunday every month, but I got to be the morning speaker. I wanted to clarify things just a little bit. I knew that this was a Sunday after Vacation Church School and that there would be a fairly high number of people with a fairly low age. And so this sermon is really directed to you. The rest of you are welcome to listen in. But it's really directed to you guys that were in Vacation Church School this week. Probably, I don't know what the topics were. It may be some of the same topics, may not, I don't know. But I did want to think about, and over again, as I thought of different sermons I've preached, and as a, you know, you kind of have a type of sermon you preach, and once in a while you get one that you feel like the Lord puts upon your mind that's like, cool, I get to do something different. So, anyway, I want to start this morning, for those of you who have your scriptures, in the book of Matthew, in the 4th chapter. Chapter 4, verse 18. And I want you to pay attention, especially if you're a young person, because I'm going to need some help and I might call on you and I don't want to catch you unaware. So you have to be paying attention to what's going on. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 18. And this is when Jesus was first starting his ministry. It says, and Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. Everybody knows what that, they were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. They just didn't use a fishing pole. They used a net so they could catch enough fish, not only for themselves to eat, but for, so they could sell it. That's how they made their way. And the Lord said something to them. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. So they were fishermen also. And they were mending their nets, and he called unto them, and immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. And you know, and I really hope that at least some of the message that you received this week in Vacation Church School is that we're called to be fishermen of men. I like to fish. Anybody else in here like to fish? I like to fish. And I have a little example here today that I'm going to attempt to do something with some of your help, and it has to do with fishing. The guy's going to go fishing. He's got to look the part. And some of you have seen me putting something up here. And there's probably a few people in this room that knows what this is. And there's probably a whole bunch of people that don't. I'm sure I'm driving the guy operating the camera back there wild. In this box and my pocket are all the tools that a guy needs to do what, Brookie? Tie a fly for fly fishing. So what we really need at this point that would really help me out and move this sermon along is if I had someone that was really educated, really sharp, that could just come up here and tie this fly for us. Nay, come on up here. Guy goes to school 8 hours a day, 3-4 days a week. I got all the tools right here. Can you tie this fly for us, Mr. Educated?
No.
Why not?
Because I've never learned.
No one ever taught you how to tie a fly, did they? Shame on me. Here I am, his dad, and never taught him how to tie a fly. This, my point, is that as we go through this walk of life, we have the tools. They're before us. The tools for tying a fly, and we're going to attempt to tie a fly here. Okay? Eric, can you come give me a hand, please? But we have the tools spiritually to tie a fly in life. We have the tools spiritually that the Lord gives us to do the things we need to do. You remember what we need to do first when we tie a fly? We got to wrap the hook, don't we? Huh? You remember that? Can you do that for me? Grab a hold of that. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk. We have to wrap the entire length of the shank of the hook, and I knew Eric knew how to do that, that to start tying the fly. That's what we have to do. And to start our spiritual walk in life, we have to recognize who we are and who God is. This vest is getting really warm. We have to recognize who God is. So let's go back and read the scripture we started with. It said that Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, and he called out to them, didn't he? Do you think they recognized who he was? I know if I was at work today or tomorrow, and I'm unloading my tools out of my truck, and some guy comes wandering by and says, "Hey, leave your entire livelihood and come follow me." Crackpot. That guy's, what do you mean? Of course they recognized who he was. They recognized who he was. Okay? Let's look in 1 Corinthians. Let me check on my fly tire here. We're going to go to the 1 Corinthians. We're going to go in the second chapter. How you doing, buddy? Pretty good. Good job. Okay, thank you. You can go sit down. So the first part to tying that fly is you got to cover the entire shank of the hook with thread, so your feathers and stuff you put on there don't slide around. But you won't know that. Nathan, like I said, goes to school all the time. I was going to pick on Amy because she just got this degree in life, you know. They wouldn't know that. Through a 4-year university, and no one taught them how to tie a fly, you know. But that's not what they went to school for, was it? You know. Everything we do in life, we have to come to an understanding of that. If we're going to serve the Lord, we have to start by opening the covers of this book up, young people, like you did this last week, and take item by item, story by story, and start placing those things in our heart and mind. Let's read there in Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. Where am I at? I'm in 1 Corinthians. It says, "For we are laborers together with God, yea, ye are God's husbandmen, ye are God's builder." Okay, so in other words, that's saying that in life, we read the last verse here that said that the Lord is going to make you fisher fishermen of men. But in this verse he says that, you know, he has a garden to take care of. You're going to take care of that garden. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 2. I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. That fit in quite nicely, though. That was chapter 3, verse 9, and it says, and I read that probably because I read it earlier. That's why it fit in. That we're to take care of God's business, so to speak, upon the earth. That we're his to be his laborers, we're to be his workers, we're to be his builders, and that, but yet he is the foreman or the captain or the chief builder, the master builder. Let's turn back a page to chapter 2 where I belong. And I'm going to read verse 9. It says, you'd think I'd have got that because it was all highlighted. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. One of my real desires in the last few years and continues to be is to show a reason to the people we talk to in the world. Why? Why follow the Lord? I had someone tell me the other day that, you know, if you look around, the people aren't necessarily living the best life. They got the nice cars. They got the pretty girlfriend or the handsome boyfriend. You know, they got the nice house. And yet they're really not serving the Lord. And if you look around, to some degree, that's true. A lot of people that aren't serving the Lord are pretty miserable, too. Zach and I was walking down the street this morning, and he was telling me about somebody that had done something that made just a huge amount of money, and 20-some years old, and had a big, beautiful mansion, and a guest house was much bigger than my house, and I told him, I said, you know, that's fine. If the Lord blesses you that way, you better use it for good. But the important thing is, that's not what brings happiness. That's not what brings us satisfaction in life. Wow, this time's going to go really quick. It hasn't entered into our heart or our mind or our ear how beautiful, how wonderful, we can't explain it, what the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. Okay, so there's a reason to serve Him. Let's continue on here. And it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Okay? Nay doesn't know by some divine method how to tie a fly. He knows the things he's been taught. I've never taught him how to tie a fly. He doesn't know how to tie a fly. Okay? And oft times when we're walking through life, we don't know how to make a decision because we're using the understanding, the wisdom of man. And these young folks, especially this group sitting here on the front row, there's a lot of decisions to be made in the next few years, isn't there? Which school you're going to go to, or what you're going to study, and who you're going to marry. And if you try and make those decisions with just the wisdom that you've learned over the years, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. But let's read on. In the 12th verse, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Christ was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he called out to James and to Andrew, was it? And they dropped what they were doing, and they followed him. Why? Why do you think they did that, Cody? By the Spirit of God, huh? That Spirit that can reveal, that can give us understanding, touched their hearts. Said, this is the guy we need to follow. This is the guy we need to follow. And all you guys that were in Vacation Church School this week, I hope you got that message. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the guy you need to follow. There's a lot of things offered out there in the world. But he's the one that we have to follow. Let's read one more verse, I think. Excuse me, the 14th verse, and it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. If we just go out on our own, we're not going to receive the things of the Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. And we all know people that you talk to them about the Lord, and it's like, that's old stuff. No one pays any attention to that anymore. It's foolishness to them. And if we're not careful, we can allow it to be foolishness to us by not listening to the Spirit. Neither can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things that we're talking about here, the Lord gives you that understanding. When you open these scriptures up, that understanding is given you. When you study, when you listen to the Sunday school teacher, when you listen to the Vacation Bible School teacher, that Spirit can put those things upon your heart, and you can know them for the rest of your life. And they can be there for you to call upon when the time comes. But he that is spiritually judged all these things, yet he himself is not judged. Okay, and I want to talk just a little bit. I had a sermon not too long ago about that, but just briefly, young folks and older ones, we're called to make a judgment call. We're called to make a judgment call. Everything that comes to us in life, on the TV, on the movie, by friends, invitations to go places and do things, we have to make a judgment call, whether it's right or wrong. And if you're spiritually minded, if you're thinking about spiritual things, and you're learning, just like this fly tying thing here, if you're learning that, you're going to know the decision to make. If you're sleeping in Sunday school and sleeping in church, not paying your mom and dad any attention, that crucial moment comes to make that decision, you may not make the right decision. If we're going to get a fly tied, we better get at it. Where's my buddy Logan? Come here, buddy. These guys have a little advantage. They've had a little former training. This is my point. Here, can you... cut a piece of that off and tie it on there for me. About that much. Anywhere. You're not going to use it all anyway. You remember how to tie it? You lay it across, spin it down, and then roll it, and then tie over it. Okay? We're going to make something that looks a little bit like a woolly bugger. That's what the fly is called. Sorry. But while he's doing that, and while you guys, I hope you're paying attention, because there could be a test on this afterwards. What I'm reading, as well as how to tie a fly. Let's look at. I made a couple notes here. Let me make sure I covered everything in that verse I wanted to. That verse we just read. You know, it says that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Those things that aren't necessarily just real obvious to all of us, you know. Sometimes what to do in life is not real obvious. But if we're listening to that Spirit that speaks to us, that gives us understanding, that's above the and beyond just what's on the surface, the deeper things of God. And, you know, and as I look around this room, I see a lot of young people in here. I see people that are older than I am, have more gray hair than I do. I see some people that are older than I am have less gray hair than I do. But it applies to us all. It really applies to us all. Where you're at in your life. These young folks are just starting out. They're just starting out their walk in the gospel. You get it? Yeah, that'll do. Cut this off and cut that off. Go ahead and lash this down the tail on there, buddy. You got your 3 minutes. Just take a little piece of this. Feathers really suffer a loss when you're tying flies. You use a lot of feathers. This won't be perfect, but we'll do it. Just take that like that and lash that down right there on that, okay? This isn't going to be the prettiest fly we ever tied, but it'll be a fly. No matter where we're at in life, age-wise. And as I, like I said, I can look around and see different people, and I know different people, and somewhat where they're at in life. And I look at myself and my wife and different things that come into our life that may be unexpected. Like I've said in the past, that's really where the rubber meets the road. When you have to make a decision, yes, I go to this party, no, I don't. When you have to make a decision facing, Joel had to make a tough decision here not too long ago. He's amongst the retired now. But that's difficult because you're leaving everything you've known for what, 23 years? 24 years. 24 years, and then all of a sudden, it's over. I got to go do something else. And it's tough decisions. You get it? Just cut about this much of it off right there. Okay, then can you here dig through this little bag here? And I want you to string one the other direction over it so the feathers are standing up. You understand what I mean? Get a real fine one.
No.
Yeah. No, either one will do. We all have to make decisions. Logan and I are trying to make a decision right here on which feather to put on this fly. Okay? If you don't know how to tie a fly, you just stand there and you see all these feathers, and it's like the first day we went to it, Logan and I and some of the other ones went to a class here on how to tie flies. And we're all just sitting there, all these guys at their age, me at 50 years old, and we all know exactly the same amount about tying a fly. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's just like us today in this room. When it comes to the gospel, we're all in different locations. We're all in different places. Some of us are just starting our walk out. Some of us have been at it for a long time. The important thing is that we recognize the basic source. I'm not going to give you a lot of information today, but the basic source of how we know what to do. When the Lord called out to him and said, "Come, I'll make you fishermen of men." Not bad, not bad. Trim just a little more of that off right there. "I'll make you fishermen of men." How'd they know that? Because the Spirit spoke to them. Let's continue on before I get just way gone here. We're going to go to 2 Timothy in a few verses there. And I find that this is applies to all you young people that were in Vacation Church School this week, but I also find that it applies to me. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's 1 Timothy. And we're going to go down to verse 15 and 16. Okay? You got it? Okay, like I said, not the prettiest fly you ever seen. Okay, thank you. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul is writing Timothy a letter. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And a lot of times I stop reading there, but I want to continue on. And it says, make sure I only turn one page here. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto you more ungodliness." What does that mean? A little help? Anybody want to give me a little help on what it means to shun profane and vain babblings? I'm glad to see I'm not the only one that's hot in here. little help. Andrew, what's the word profane mean?
Not acceptable.
Vain, not acceptable, not of value. Okay. So what does it mean to shun something? Get away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. So we're not to have anything to do with just talking and going on about stuff that is vain or of no value. No value. No value to our spiritual walk. No value to our physical walk of life. You know, I have a lot of communication with people every day of my life that has nothing to do with the gospel. Because that's what I do for a living. I communicate with people on what they need to do and how they need to do it and what the schedule is. And that's not vain. I mean, that's how I make my living and that's how we build buildings or do whatever it is we're doing. So what kind of talk would this be, Adam? But okay, is talking about sports worthless? Talking about going hunting worthless? It's talking about fishing or tying flies worthless? Where do we draw the line at? What's that? Okay, but what's good and bad for you may not be good and bad for me. The Word of God draws the line. The exact thing we've been talking about up to this point. Good and bad is a right answer. That's the correct answer. But who's defining what's good and bad for us? The Word of God. The Spirit of God that may give you that understanding in an instance. When you're at school and someone says, hey, we're having a party after school. Can you go? Oh, I got a decision to make. Do I go or don't I go? Maybe it's a good party. Maybe it's not. I went to Joel and Jen's last night. Jen ran over and picked up some of the girls from a birthday party they've been to. And they got home. The first thing that McKenna said was, that was so neat. The first thing he did was the mom and dad got up and read the scriptures at this girl's 16-year-old birthday party. And I said, that was neat. That was neat. You know, that's the kind of party you want to go to, isn't it? So you have to have some discernment, some understanding on how to make a decision. Young people, you're going to have to face it every day of your life. Every day of your life. I'm going to go back and just re-say this right here. Study to show yourself approved. You have to open the Word of God. In this day and age, you know, I see someone sitting in church looking at their iPhone. Thinking, that's kind of disrespectful. No, it's not. They got the scriptures on there. I have an app on my iPhone that I can listen to the scriptures being read. Okay? I have an app on my iPhone that I can look up any scripture I want to in the Bible. I don't have the Book of Mormon. I hope to, though. Okay? So we can use this technology that each one of you are very aware of, especially you young people. If I have a problem with my phone, I go, hey, Nay, can you help me with this? Okay, because he understands it better than I do. I'm sure all these young people standing here, sitting here would have no problem. Use it to your ability. Use it to God's glory. Your choice. You can be watching YouTubes on your iPhone that would fall under the classification of vain babbling. You can be listening to music on your iPhone that will fall under that same classification of vain babbling. No value. It doesn't lift you up. It doesn't strengthen your walk with the Lord. It doesn't encourage you to serve Him. And if it don't do those things, then you don't need to have anything to do with it. But you can use that same iPhone or iPad, or whatever it is you have, to listen to hymns, to listen to the Word of God, to communicate with your brothers and sisters in a godly way. Your choice. We have choices to make. Study that you might know which choice to make. I'm going to read a verse in 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And I'm going to read a few verses there, so you might want to follow along. Starting in chapter 4, verse 7. It says, But refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather in godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, having promise of this life, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So what does that mean? Does anybody here exercise? Get up in the morning, go hike the mountain, go lift weights, do jumping jacks. I know a lot of you do, and good for you. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as that doesn't become your idol. You know, the Lord expects us to take care of this temple that He gave us. That's why we don't use things and take things that hurt it. But with that, the Scripture here says, that profiteth little. In other words, that gets you by okay for the 60, 80, 90 years you're going to live here. You're going to enjoy having a healthy body while you're living here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the important thing is that those things which are spiritual profiteth a lot. And again, I wanted to make special note of this verse 8 that says, you know, having promises of the life that is now and that which is to come. Okay. Sometimes we get this idea that, well, I can serve the Lord, but I got to serve Him from the time I'm 15 years old until I'm 80 years old or 90 years old. And that's just kind of a drag. And I don't get to do the things that other people do, and I may not have the fancy sports car, and wow, but I get life eternal. But verses like this indicate to us that we have, there's a verse in Matthew, I believe, that says that the Christ came and brought us life, which is life eternal, and life more abundantly. This life, here and now, is a more abundant life if you reach out and partake of it. If you reach out and partake of the blessings that God gives you now in this life. Might be a family, might be, you know, look at Adam here. I like to use Adam. He has a beautiful little family there. He could be just an old bachelor sleeping in a one-room apartment somewhere, feeling sorry for himself. You know, if he didn't want to just reach out and partake of the blessings that the Lord has given him. And that may not be for everybody. I don't have a little girl in my house. I just got two boys. That's it. But I'm thankful to see that. And it's different for each one of us. It's different for each one of us. And like I say, sometimes things come in life we don't expect. You know, we don't expect. But does that change the game? No. I didn't expect my wife is going to have breast cancer. But life goes on. And life more abundantly goes on. Whatever situation or problems, issues we have to deal with that, that's okay. It's okay. Because I still believe in the same God that I believed in yesterday and will tomorrow. And I know that He is not lack concerning His promises. That He is faithful. He's faithful to us always. He doesn't promise that life's just going to be no problems. There's going to be problems. If you're breathing, there's going to be problems. But it's okay. It's okay. We have life eternal if we endure to the end. And we have life more abundantly as we enjoy and share the struggles and difficulties that come our way. And it's okay. But if your heart is set upon the vain things of this world, you're going to struggle. And you're not going to partake of that life more abundantly. Life for however many years that you're here is going to be difficult for you. And that doesn't mean, you know, like Zachary was telling me earlier, or someone else was telling me the other day that, you know, they knew this guy. I think Andrew knows a businessman that he'd ran into. Young guy, 30-some years old, literally has anything and everything he wants. All the money he wants, a car for a different day. He worked hard. He was very successful in what he did. And but, you know, at some point, what else do you get? What more do you buy? What other thrill do you seek? You still aren't satisfied. Because there's only one thing that satisfies the soul of man. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And traveled the world, fanciest restaurants. You know, I see these guys that have a helicopter drop them off on top of a mountain and they go snowboarding down the mountain, or they jump out of a helicopter onto a thing and then they hand glide over the Alps. And, you know, they just got money to burn. But at some point, there's nothing left. You're still just as empty as you were when you started out. And I hope you listen to young people, because the value in life is found in Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we can't go snowboarding. Doesn't mean we don't go fly fishing. Doesn't mean we don't enjoy the good things that God has given us on the planet. I love to explore the planet, you know, so there's nothing wrong with that. But we do it in a godly way and with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me make sure I read what I was supposed to read here. I'm going to go now to Mosiah chapter 1, verse 49. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 49, page 212. This was King Benjamin, I believe, and it says, "And now behold, I tell you all these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're only in the service of your God." This was the king speaking. You know, sadly to say, in our day and age, we see our politicians and some of our political leaders, some leaders of other countries, and the focus seems to be on them, more so than on the people they're supposed to be serving. But for those of us that endeavor to walk a life with Jesus Christ, it has to be about service. We find strength, we find, fulfillment in service. Nathan said something to me day before yesterday. He's standing out in front of Walmart looking like he was lost. Not really. He was standing out in front of Walmart for how many hours, Nate? 8 hours? Probably 8 hours. Holding the fireman boot, collecting money. You know. And they collect quite a bit of money for those firefighters' families up there. But the point was, he told me, there's something about doing it that just makes you feel good. Just makes you feel good. It's called service. God created us to be in service to those around us. Different ways, but God created us to be in service. And here, King Benjamin says, when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're only in the service of your God. How do we serve God? I don't think we're all going to serve God like Brother Hubert or Brother Brian or Dwayne, get on an airplane and travel to some foreign. That may not be for all of us, okay? We're glad they can do it. But for us, most of us, our service is day to day. I came home yesterday or the day before and somebody mowed my backyard. I appreciate that. Little thing, no big deal. I have a small backyard, but I still appreciate it. A little bit of service. We give our tithing and our offerings. It's service. That enables other people to spread the gospel. It's important. I think it's important, especially for young people, that you look, open your eyes, and look around. What can I do? Maybe not be some grandioso thing, hanging out with a Maasai tribe, teaching them the gospel. Maybe mowing the grass in the churchyard, picking up trash, sweeping the floor, whatever it is, doing the dishes. It's service. Maybe you have a grandparent that could use a little help around the house, or maybe just like to have somebody to visit with. You know, it's service. Think about being in service, young people. Most of you have more time now than you'll have in your life later. Most of you have more time right now to be of service. And that's part of your relationship with the Lord. You young adults that are married or maybe not married, you probably have time. You have some time on your hands. Once you start having those kids and running them here and there, that time goes away pretty fast, you know. Well, this really wouldn't be a sermon to the young people if it got too long. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. And I want to talk a little bit here about the condition of your heart. And that's something only each of you know. And I'm talking to everybody, but especially to the young people. What's in your heart? What motivates you to do something? Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. It says, "Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." What in the world does that mean? Most of us aren't servants anymore. We don't have a master. Most of us have a boss, so. And I happen to be one of those guys, the boss. You know, and I got a guy working for me. He takes a load of stuff out to the dumpster. I may look out the window and see what he's up to out there. Because I want to know if a guy is there to work, or is he there just to hang out and collect a paycheck. I've had guys work for me that when I come around the corner, well, all of a sudden they're really busy. But if they don't know I'm watching, they're not busy at all. Okay? That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. What motivates you to do something? Here he's talking about servants or employees. Most of us will be or are an employee. We have an obligation to our employer to work for every hour we're being paid. If we're not working, we're stealing. If I'm on the clock and I'm hiding out so no one sees me, I might as well go get the guy's wallet and take money out of it. It's stealing. But more importantly than that, Paul's trying to tell us something here. He said that, you know, work hard for your guy you're working for, with in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Ultimately, every day of our life, whether I'm working for a guy named Guthrie or working for Salt River Project or working for APS or the city, ultimately I'm working for Christ. He's keeping track. And then he makes a statement in the next verse, every bit as important. Not as eye servants or men pleasers. When you're doing something just because you know somebody's watching, young people, when you're doing something just because you know your mom's watching, or your dad's watching, or your papa or your grandma or whoever's watching, you know that you're not really doing it from the heart. In other words, somebody's watching, oh, I'll start doing the dishes really quick, or I'll say the right thing, or I'll do the right thing because I'm in the crowd of people that I know I got to say the right thing. It's just eye service as men's pleasers, he says, but as a servant of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And that's why I want to say, young folks and all of us, take a look at your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, some of you may have showed up in church today because you were told to. It's time to go to church. Kids, get ready to church. We're almost late. Hurry up. Get out there. You're in church today because you were told to. You may rather have slept in. You may rather have hung out the house and watched cartoons and ate popcorn. You know, why are you here? Why do you do what you do in life? And I know when you're young, you do what you're told because that's what you're supposed to do. You have parents. God gave you parents for that reason. But as you start getting older, you start making decisions for yourself. What motivates you in life to make those decisions? It better be from the heart. And it better be your relationship with Jesus Christ. Being led by that Spirit that when Christ walks by and says, come, follow me, you'll hear. Do this. Help that person. Stop and fix this for this guy. You'll listen. You'll hear. You'll know. And you'll have a life more abundantly. A life lived for Jesus Christ is much fuller, much happier. You skirt around a lot of the problems that people have in life. Look around. I'm sure you all have friends. I'm sure you all know people that get involved in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of different things. Bad relationships, whatever it is. Are they happy? Nope. Maybe for a moment. But long term, they're not happy. Happiness comes through living a life for Christ. We can't live a life for Christ unless somewhere along the line we stop, open the Word of God, attend Vacation Church School, attend church, and know what it is the Lord expects of us. You can't tie a fly unless someone sits down with you and shows you how to tie it, a time or two or three or four. There's things to learn. There's a lot of things to learn in life. In 1 hour, I can't teach you. But I can tell you, and if you don't leave here with nothing else, Easton, know this, that a life of happiness is a life lived with Jesus Christ. And the way is plain, and it's readily available for you. I have all the tools in this box here. I bought it at a yard sale, by the way. All the tools in this box to tie flies. You have all the tools for life, more abundant, and life eternal, right here in these books called the Scriptures. Take advantage of it. Make use of it. Take advantage of the people that's around you. Take advantage of the people that's around you. Ask them questions. If you need help, ask for help. If you don't quite understand what to do, ask your parents. Ask somebody. Okay, that's it. Thank you.